Welcome, everyone. God damn it, Schuster. You know, you did that at the beginning of everything we recorded last time, and I put none of it up, and I'm probably not going to put any of it up. So I have to tell the audience that you've done that at the beginning of every...
I have done nothing but have a contagious cough all of a sudden.
You're contagious, all right. So welcome, everybody, to Minisode 32, which is the second time we're recording Minisode 32.
Wait, hold on, the other was actually one... contagious.
All right,
that
so...
That was real.
Are we all good now? So, we did do another 32. It never got put up, and now I feel like it's not quite as relevant as it would have been, so I'm not putting it up. It happens sometimes.
Fault.
It is partially my fault.
Yeah.
But not completely.
Full blame on you.
That's fine. So, you guys having a private conversation over there?
No, we're
they're like giggling schoolgirls over there.
They are. It's very strange. So, who would like to go first? You guys got the most, so one of you should go first.
Do you want
to
do just... Yeah, let's do it. Let's
get wow, what is happening? Wow.
Phew. All right, Vision. The Vision.
Issue number 7.
Holy.
Tom King.
It's good.
Yeah, because Tom King is
what
the
next,
big
next
thing.
Issue. It's good.
I'll let you hear what you think first.
I thought this was, like, really amazing, actually. They take a lot of... parts of the character that, like, a lot of the questions that I had coming into this this mini... Is this a mini-series, or is this... Cause, like, is this the actual end?
This is the... What? End?
Yeah, like, I think the ending was the end.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay, but,
The ending was the end.
I never really... I was like, what happened...
here on Cape Scowls.
What happened with, you know, Vision, Scarlet Witch? You know, I never really knew, like... So this issue kind of gives you kind of closure on the situation. First off... The cover is amazing. It's one of the best covers I've seen so far this year. And then you get into it, and it starts off with a joke that the Wasp tells Vision, which is...
back in the day. This is, like, in the past.
Yeah, yeah. So the Wasp just says, like, you know, a toaster is sitting on the counter with another toaster. And the one toaster says to the other toaster, "Do you ever feel empty sometimes?" And the other toaster says, "Oh my god, a talking toaster." And, you know, it's just such this, like, it's a small joke, but it leads into the story so well.
Yeah, it does.
And it, you know, you get this really, really heartfelt, insightful...
The vision has broken Paul.
Paul is broken.
Vision has broken Paul. Paul
oh my god,
happy.
A talking toaster.
Paul.
Best review ever.
And that's why the Vision is amazing, just for that reaction.
Damn.
So it gives you, like, you know, this insight onto...
it's just that funny. I don't know why I'm crying.
Oh, he's got the tears.
The tears are coming.
This is similar to the reaction from in the book also.
Right, it is.
But after that, you kind of get this insight onto Scarlet Witch's and Vision's relationship. And it is the best, like, I want a relationship like that. And it's like, it gives you this insight on, like, real love. And then it
love with a robot?
It makes you really sad because it goes into their personal life. And they're kind of like, it seems like they're just having this night at home. And, you know, Scarlet Witch is like, "Oh, I'm going to go check on the kids." And Vision just, like... has that, like, you know, I feel like that manlier, like, just facing the truth. He's like, they're not real,
right.
You know, and I can't give you what you want. And it becomes really visceral at this point. And it kind of shows that, you know, the best part about this comic, it shows a really human side of Vision by showing how mechanical and how not human he is. And the contrast of it in this book is just... it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the best series I've read this year.
Yeah.
And then they close out with a joke. I really don't want to go into the comic too much because I really think everybody should pick up this issue. But Leander, if you want to take over from there.
The only thing I would add is, so there's two things. One, when he says that the kids aren't real, that was the first time I got to see Wanda get upset with him. And be like, she's like, "You're not real. You're not even, what the hell are you? You're not even real. So how are you going to tell me the kids aren't real?" So it was like a first, like, burn on Vision, like, by his wife of, like, "You're not even real," you know, which is pretty intense in that sense. Then they go into the White Vision, which I didn't know much about the White Vision at all and what his whole deal was. But apparently it's a new body, it's a new Vision. He doesn't have the same, he has some imprints of the old Vision on him, but it's not the same. So he just tells the kids, like, "I'm not your father. I don't know what to tell you."
It's really heartbreaking, too.
Yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking.
Like, the emotions that well up whenever I read this comic. It's just, it's great that I can feel something, because, like, I got this not expecting this, you know, emotional of a story for a Vision comic, for any comic of that matter. And it's on the level of, like, a saga where it just really pulls on your heartstrings. And you actually, Virginia, like, his wife, you actually get to see how she was conceived and part of her conception. And it's just great. Like, everything in this book comes full circle. It really makes you ask questions about your own personal life. It's like, I would give this issue a 10, personally. Yeah, without a doubt. It's great.
I mean, the series a 10. The whole thing is a 10.
This is one of my favorite things I've been reading this year.
This has just been great ever since the very beginning.
Well, let's hope Tom King doesn't end up DC exclusive.
I really hope not. It'll make me sad.
I mean, he's writing Batman. They like to lock people up. I'm just saying. It could happen.
And I'm really, you know, I was sad about Batman, about Snyder leaving, but, like, if Tom King's...
Are you guys going to read it?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to love it.
What? Are you going to read Batman? If he he's writing it.
I'll consider it.
That's a no. That's if I'm in the store and the first issue's there.
Right. Pretty much.
I speak Leander.
I think also... Oh, I know what I was going to say. The weird thing about... I've always had a weird thing about the Vision and Scarlet Witch back in the day when they first, like, was doing their thing. I didn't like it back then, and I think it leads to that whole, like, you know, not that I need to always talk about this, but this is just one thing that I happen to talk about. When people say, like, oh, gay marriage, what's next? You're going to marry a dog? Like, this kind of exemplifies, like, a weird, unnatural relationship that, like, was very difficult for me to swallow, because I think it gave people, like, oh, this is weird, like, what the hell's going on? And maybe you could see it as, like, this is an accepting thing, but I don't think many people accepted the fact that she was with the Vision. I don't know how that even got past Marvel, that they actually went that deep and had her be with an android, but, you know, and marry him and everything else. So I thought it made me think a lot about old Avengers and how weird it must have been back then when that first happened.
Very true.
The Vision's 10.
Vision is a 10. Does that make you next, since we did that together?
Sure, I'll go next. My book is an Image book. And it is Renato Jones, the 1% number one. This book, I ordered it, and I was like, I don't know what it's about, but I like the art. The art, the story, the coloring, everything was done by Kerry Kyle Andrews. And this gentleman clearly does not like the 1% in America, the upper crust, the rich. And the story is about this character going, finding the rich, and murdering them. But it's way deeper than that. You get a little bit of his backstory. You see, I don't want to give it all away, but the art style kind of changes throughout. It actually looks like Sin City at certain points. He goes in flashbacks to black and white. And then it goes back to color when it's him, when he's older, trying to take out some of the 1%. Very dark book. It's not going to be for everybody. I think this is a great number one. I think it's really, really good. I have no idea how they're going to keep that momentum going. Well, he's going to keep the momentum going. It's just a very, very awesome jumping on point, but I don't know how it's going to be hard to maintain that energy going forward. But I was very impressed with the whole thing. And it's an interesting book. Definitely an interesting book to check out. Yes.
Do you think that it's in any way political because Donald Trump is running for president? Go.
I don't think that was ever the intention. Do you think that didn't
in some way come into this person's mind as they were creating this book?
It's possible it was... Trump was involved, but probably not because of the presidency. Because if he's writing, drawing, and doing everything on this book probably took forever to get going. Even though it's more intimate, the intimacy of a writer-artist is always going to shine through. The only bad side of that usually is that books always fall behind. Rashid, you would know the artist. He did the last run of... He did the art for Immortal Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah.
The Living Weapon one.
Yeah, that was really good, actually. I might have to check that out.
Yeah, this book's really good, but like I said, I'm not sure how it can maintain this energy. It started with such a bang, and the art is amazing. The story... It's going to go either way. Right now, I'm still saying it's good. It's easily like an 8 for me. But the art is amazing. If you like good art, check it out. I think it's really good.
Very cool.
Me? You?
I'll go. Right. So since we're in the fashion of doing number ones, we'll go from a good number one to a not so great number one.
I haven't read it yet, so
I'm interviewing the first issue, or not interview, I'm reviewing the first issue of The Punisher. That's probably like the third time I've done that.
It's okay. Lou's gonna be upset.
It's well, no, it's funny because this kind of continues what we did last week, and we talked about Steve Dillon and his art. Steve Dillon art, Becky Cloonan writing it, and it's like I don't have that much, you know, knowledge of The Punisher. The only series I really read was the Welcome Back, Frank. Love Ennis's take on the character. It just, like, with all new, all different Marvel, I really don't have to jump too much into the story for this book, honestly. It feels, like, so rehashed when I read this. This, like, getting that Steve Dillon art, it's just like, okay, this seems like a Welcome Back, Frank kind of story. But all, like, all the little details and all the little nuances that I love, like, you know, the level that you'll get of, you know, psychopaths and anything like that from an Ennis book isn't there. And still having Steve Dillon's art with it, it's just like, you know, when I got all new, all different Marvel, I expected things to be kind of all new and all different. Everything here, the story feels like it's been told before. There's really no new, you know, gimmick for it. It's just like more of the same thing, where I really felt like they could have taken this opportunity riding off of Daredevil to actually take this comic and make this, you know, a fan favorite, because I think the Punisher, the character just from that show, already is, and it's just surprisingly underwhelming. It's more of the same, honestly. I'm really feeling like around a 5 for this. I want to check it out more. I don't know. I want to say something good about it, but I really can't.
And I like Cloonan and I like Dillon, but I wouldn't have thought to put them together. And maybe it's just a bad pairing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll read it and tell you if I feel the same.
All right. I'm going to jump into Black Panther.
Oh, Black Panther.
Number 2.
Whoa, number 2.
Skipping number 1. Go pick up yourself.
Yeah, so if you can find it.
So first of all, about number one, I did have it CGC'd because I knew it was going to be a collector's item. So I have it sent off to get CGC'd. I got the hip hop cover for it.
I did too.
Did you? Nice. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah, I take care of you guys. Did you know that people are buying that off of eBay for like $20?
What?
It makes no sense. They printed like thousands of them.
I'm making money.
Are you? Yep. I don't know if that's maintained, but yeah, people were losing their minds over probably because of Civil War. People were like, oh my god, Black Panther, the new big, great thing.
It's a double. It's the Civil War, and it's Ta-Nehisi Coates who's writing it.
Right.
He's just, everyone loves him, and he's on fire right now. Mm. In the real world, writing real books and stuff like that. Often, writing good books, just like the comic books, not real books. So, because comic books are real books, too.
I like how you clarified that.
Yes, because all books matter.
Novels.
So, Black Panther, number 2.
Hashtag fingers.
All right. First thing about Black Panther, it's very much set in Wakanda. They're going to be staying there for a while. All the issue that's revolving around the Black Panther right now is all about Wakanda and Africa and everything going on in the region. So the main thing I liked about this is that I haven't read a lot of Black Panther. Have there been a lot of Black Panther series of just Black Panthers?
There's been, off the top of my head, there's been at least like 4 or 5.
Okay.
But I feel like they've been so spread out over the years. Like, mm-hmm. It started in the 70s, I want to think, is okay. When he started on his own. He was created in the 60s in Fantastic Four.
Right.
Then he had his own in the 70s. 80s, he had a mini. And then, like, early 2000s, he had a decent run.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a Marvel now.
There's a short one where it was one of the female.
Shuri.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took over for Daredevil. I think that was the last time.
Okay.
Which was awesome. It was him and Storm.
Okay, right.
They were a thing.
Okay, well, to say this feels different than what I've seen Black Panther to be like, and I guess I assume Ta-Nehisi Coates is playing a big role in that. The whole point is that there's basically a revolution going on in Wakanda. People don't like him anymore. They're like, you're a bad leader. Especially his main female cohorts, the ones that fight for him, I forget the name of the group that they're called, but there's certain, so as you know, Wakanda is like one of the most technologically advanced cities in the world, in the Marvel Universe. And they have, like, they even have prototype armor of certain things. So what's going on in this particular issue is that there are two ladies who used to be within in his royal guard, Anyo and Annika, or Ayo and Annika. Ayo and Annika, Annika's actually was imprisoned because she ended up beating up and killing a man who had been raping all the women, a lot of women that he had captured. And she's like, I can't take this anymore. I'm tired of us just putting them in prison. I'm just going to kill them. So she did it. She went to trial. She was to be killed. Her lover, we find out, got the Midnight Armor, which is called, they're called Midnight Armor. Donned it, saved her. They both escaped out together. In issue number two, it's about them doing their thing, freeing other women from other parts of Africa that have been basically being raped and pillaged, stuff like that. And then T'Challa trying to stop the revolution that's going on against his country. The thing is, there's a person who can mind control and turn his own people against him. Mm-hmm. So now he has to kill and fight his own people, which makes... But no one knows that that's what's going on, so they just think he's fighting his own people, which makes people even more upset with him. So it's really a book about the challenges of being a king in Wakanda, how to like deal with political revolutions, and this kind of lesbian lover situation where they're going around freeing all the women.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's a little disjointed, though, is the only thing I will say. It's a lot going on. And I think for Ta-Nehisi Coates, for him being the first time ever doing a comic, it's going to take a while for it to all tighten up together. But at the same time, I don't want to diss it completely, because any new comic, you have to introduce new characters, there's all sorts of setup, especially if you have a desire for it to be deep. Like the Vision, you know, like there's nothing, there's no action, there's nothing crazy going on. It takes a while for it to build up, but it's still one of the most amazing books out there, right? So I think he's trying to figure out his style.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree. I read the first issue. I didn't want to review it because I wanted to wait for this one. I didn't get to the second issue yet. But it's very broad, like you said. It's very out there. And, you know, I want this to be good. I want to like it, but it's not to that level yet. Yeah. I do think I agree with you that it's going to get there. But,
Do you guys feel that a lot of these Marvel books are doing a slow build? Because I feel that way with Moon Knight as well.
Yeah.
Just read issue two.
Maybe. I don't know how deep they're going. I feel like everything I've even heard you guys say, it's starting to get, like, it's more character development and deeper stuff. I don't know.
For some stuff, yeah, I feel like they do that. But for Moon Knight, I didn't read the second issue, but I really liked the first issue. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was a good start, especially, you know, the way that they're going to portray him. And I liked everything about that book. Like, I could review the first Moon Knight. I really couldn't review the first Black Panther. I feel like it gave me more to go off of. Because I felt, you know, I think Moon Knight kind of did a good job of bringing the story along, placing you right where number one should be, where, like, the first Black Panther, I did feel a little bit dropped in.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I have to catch up. And I feel like they're going to do that with issue two and issue three. But it just doesn't feel like, you know, it didn't feel like a great starting point. I will say that.
Okay. I will say that things feel more formed in the second one. It's not disjointed. You know what the girls are doing. You know what the two ladies are doing. That's set in stone. You know what's going on. You know who the nemesis is now for the revolution. That's set in stone, and Black Panther's taking care of that. And you know kind of the political unrest that's happening in Wakanda. You have a better sense of that. So, again, things are tightening up, and you see Black Panther fight for the first time. No, he fought in the first one, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's more fighting in the second one. So... Yeah, but anyways, I can't give it a high score yet because it would be dishonest, so I would say it's like a 7.
Okay. Sounds good.
Is it back to me?
Sure.
So, I'm going to review the 7th and final issue of Illuminati, which was a series that I was really enjoying. I thought it was a great take. I have a special place in my heart for, like, BC-level villains. This one starts out, you get to see the Red Hood, what he's really fighting for, what he really kind of made this plan for. And you see, you know, his wife and his daughter has been, they're in, like, a protective custody. They're being taken care of by S.H.I.E.L.D. And this whole time from, you know, their stint on Asgardia to where they are now, they've just really, he's just been trying to cultivate and create this life that's good for the villain, that, you know, we've done these things, we can't change the person that we are, but we can still prosper in this universe our way. And the last issue was really good. I don't know exactly if it's been introduced in any other comics. I know everything's kind of been all over the place, but you get introduced to Pleasant Hill, which is a jail that S.H.I.E.L.D. created to that pretty much brainwashes a lot of the villains and makes them think that they're, you know, an ice cream man. And they create this, like, almost like the movie Pleasantville, kind of like perfect neighborhood. So the Absorbing Man and Titania actually breaks them. Well, Titania breaks out the Absorbing Man from there. They break out, like, Scorcher and a few other villains. And they actually have an amount of villains to go and face the Avengers, face S.H.I.E.L.D., and actually win. But this is starting... This is where, like, Titania starts to have second thoughts, and she starts to think, like, you know, I still don't feel right about this. Like, I have all this power, and I feel like we could win, but this isn't the way I'm going to get the life that I want to get. And she actually gets to... She eavesdrops on the conversation between Red Hood and the Absorbing Man, where it's kind of like one of those things. I feel like a lot of guys have been there where, like, you know, your girlfriend hears something and she kind of overreacts. But while he was brainwashed, he actually has a relationship with Elektra, who, to an earlier conversation, is alive again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she starts to second-guess their relationship and what she's doing with the Red Hood. And it creates an unrest that kind of finishes off, you know, what the Mad Thinker started. And everything from that point for this comic becomes really disjointed, because everything from issue 1 to 5, like, really seemed like it seemed like this book had a clear ending. It seemed like something was going to happen. There was going to be a tide turning. And there is one very major moment towards the end of this. Titania actually stands up to Red Hood and says, you know, this isn't the way to do this. You know, I'm going to continue to fight, but I'm not going to... Because Red Hood, having his family taken away from him, wants to start going after the families of Marvel heroes in the S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's kind of where she draws the line. She says, you know, I'll keep being a villain and doing what I need to do to survive, but I'm not going to go and hurt people's family. And she actually takes the Red Hood from Red Hood and rips it, loses a portion of her power, which she found out that she got from the Red Hood. And everything just kind of speeds up. It kind of feels like somebody hits the fast forward button. They give you some hop-slop, like, half-ass ending. And I was just like, what the hell? For a series I've been enjoying for the last 5 or 6 months, and it does feel tied to them trying to do this Civil War II event. Because for some reason, this comic's ending, but the last issue had a Civil War kind of banner over it. Mm-hmm. And I really felt a lot invested in this story. And it's just underwhelming. Like, I don't want the cinematic universe to have this impact on the comic book, because I really start to feel like certain aspects are suffering. Even if it's not a mass scale of people that are suffering from it, it's diminishing the quality of their art. Mm-hmm. What truly got them there. And, like, this could have been a great series. It's just a good series. I would give this book, this last book, like a 6. I really always enjoyed the art through this. It was always great. It told a good story for some of these villains that really don't get a lot of the spotlight, but the ending was just underwhelming for me. Hmm. A lot of unanswered questions for it.
What would you give it?
Like a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, so we do some YouTube exclusives after this?
We can. Sounds we can call it there. All right, people. Thank you for listening.